Tuesday night, and we have various men who are teaching that class. And we also have Thursday night Bible class, which I began last Thursday, and we continue with the book of Hebrews. Sunday morning, of course, the lesson that we will learn today. There will be no evening service on Sunday until I have recovered more strength. Be praying as well for that, if you would. I think I noticed that they've already removed me from the Australian prayer list. I'm still on it. I didn't. It's so small I couldn't hardly see it. It said pray for Miller. That was it. Needless to say, if it's still on there, but you keep praying for me if you would. Also for my son-in-law, who is recovering, at least attempting to recover from his recent therapy regarding prostate cancer. All right, if you would open your Bibles again, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are dealing with the various compartments of the soul as they are absolutely needed for proper information in our stream of consciousness. What is in your stream of consciousness throughout the day is dependent upon, one, what you've learned, and certainly that what you've learned eventually becomes a part of your experience. Unfortunately, when we came into the Christian life, we had no information that was worthy of being in our stream of consciousness to glorify the Lord. And so we had to learn from scratch. Plus the fact that we brought in all of the garbage of the subconscious. The only thing that was actually removed that is good for us is all scar tissue is removed at the moment of regeneration. That opens the possibility of an individual learning. Unfortunately, because of legalisms and various other attitudes that believers have, as they are ministered to by local assemblies, they begin to build scar tissue again. And it isn't long thereafter they have different areas of scar tissue which prevent them from learning successfully. Well, the ideal thing, of course, is to start with a fresh, new, clean hard drive and have all that information properly programmed by a pastor teacher who is teaching the Word of God. Metabolize doctrine circulating in these seven compartments of your stream of consciousness creates two things. One, it creates the defense lines of your soul, and we need those defense lines because we are constantly under attack. You see, before we became believers, we were part not of the royal family, but of Satan's family. And therefore, there were no attacks in our lives as far as the spirit was concerned. As a matter of fact, we are spiritually dead when we come into this world. And so at the moment of regeneration, when Jesus Christ is recognized as Savior in the life of the believer, the doctrine that is necessary to be taught must be done so by a qualified pastor teacher to a congregation under the principle of the local classroom, i.e. the local church. I disagreed radically with those that believe the church is church and Bible school is Bible school. The church should be the Bible school. And the only reason why Bible schools even exist in the time in which we live is because the churches are not doing their jobs. The pastor is to teach the Word of God and the Word of God only. But instead, he runs around doing counseling, holding people's hands when he shouldn't be, and he's not doing what he should be, and that is learning the Word of God on a daily basis. You have an advantage because you are getting close to 40 years of Bible study that I have done in the original languages, and I find them absolutely phenomenal. I haven't quit studying. Just about the time that I think I have it, I don't. So I got to go back to the book. Notice I didn't say books. I don't bother reading commentaries of other people, because generally they're wrong. Unless they agree with me, then they're right. So the first thing that it creates is the defense lines of your soul. And you need that because adversity is inevitable. But to allow that adversity to pass through into your soul, now you have great controversy and stress. And stress is the one thing that we as believers do not need. Secondly, it creates an image, a mirror in our soul. The mirror of the soul is where we make objective, accurate self-evaluations designed by God through metabolized doctrine. You see, the reason why most of us look healthy is because we metabolize food. You've taken it in the last, hopefully today. If you haven't, you plan on it at least sometime today. That food will be metabolized and go to the various parts of your body that is needed. And eventually, of course, as children grow up, they reach a certain age where they're considered grown up. I think God has a great sense of humor. I wish the body would grow up as quickly as the brain, or the brain the body. Unfortunately, the body outgrows the brain. We have what we have and what we call young people. The first area, remember there are seven compartments of the soul which make up our stream of consciousness. The first is called the frame of reference. And the frame of reference is where doctrinal information has been stored so that it can be used in the present or the future. Now, we began a study last time of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we actually have information regarding the frame of reference. In other words, what's in your frame of reference will be your life. What you are on the inside will be what you speak and what you think. You cannot think outside of your frame of reference. Now, if the information is not accurate, then you're going to be thinking inaccurately. That's the way it goes. I've had people say to me, well, that's the way I was taught. Well, that doesn't make it right. There are certain groups of people on planet Earth that teach their children how to steal and pickpocket. That doesn't make it right. And apparently they're excellent in what they do. They've been trained since they were infants. As soon as they could put their hands in somebody else's pocket, they were taught all the fine arts of pickpocketing. And they're all over the world. My wife and mother and I were warned repeatedly when we went into marketplaces and various other places in Greece to be careful of young people running around in packs because they were all thieves. And they would bump into you and either steal a woman's purse or actually pick the pocket of the male without his being able to. And then they pass it on to the next person, the next one pass it on. By the time you realize that the wallet was gone, why, it may have gone through six hands. Of course, these were not Greek children, you understand. In Greece, they blame everything on the Albanians. Of course, the Yugoslavians blame everything on the Albanians, too. That's quite a mess over there. It hasn't been resolved at all, by the way, for those of you that think it has. You know, wake up and smell your geography. That battle has been raging in that area, the ethnic battle, for almost 500 years. And no signature by any U.S. president or treaty signed by individuals is going to undo that. It's a definite ethnic problem. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he talks about the frame of reference. And he says, for example, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech, but rather wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. See, when the believer has maximum doctrine in his soul, doctrine, by the way, we mean God's teaching. The word doctrine simply is taken from the Greek word, which means teaching. Some people get quite upset when they hear that word doctrine. They immediately identify the word with a dull classroom and a duller professor standing in front of the classroom, putting half the people in the classroom asleep. Now, we're not talking about that kind of doctrine. We're talking about Bible doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God. And you see, once you get about 60% of your soul filled with God's Word, you have entered into the principles of maturity. In other words, you can deal with any circumstance in life. And it's always been amazing to me how wonderfully some of the people that I've met who are doctrinally oriented successfully went through times that normally would cause devastation in the life of the individual. Why? Because the Word of God carried them through. And I wasn't there to hold their hands, by the way. That doesn't mean that I've never visited any people of Westside Bible Church when they're in the hospital. They're probably close friends, and therefore I visited them on that basis. And generally, they were more of an encouragement to me than I was to them. I believe the greatest encouragement we can have for and with each other is under maximum adversity, to see how you get through it. See, that's the real you. Not when things are going your way. The real you is how you react under adversity. Do you want to give up? Maybe you want to do like the Frenchman did, try to commit suicide. Suicide, of course, is the cowardly way of leaving this earth. God has an appointed time for each of us. He doesn't expect us to speed it up. And he doesn't need any help from us. In due time, in his time, we go. And until then, we're immortal. That's right. Until God through with us, we're immortal. And until God is through with us, we're not going to leave this earth. We may not leave as healthy as we expect, but that may be because of things that we did to our bodies to, destroy them. Verse 2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was his message. Now, of course, this is the message of the apostle / evangelist. We don't see that the apostle Paul actually did any particular pastoral ministry in any of the churches. He used to leave young men in various places that constituted the pastors of these churches. As an apostle, he would visit from place to place. Ministering, yes, but not as a pastor teacher. Now, what he writes, obviously, is information that we as pastor teachers need. But one month he might be in Corinth, and the next month he might be in Thessalonica. A couple of weeks later, he might be in Asia Minor. A year or two, he'd come back to the Corinthian area to see how they were doing. But in the meantime, he would leave men there to minister the Word of God on a daily basis. Of course, the Corinthians were probably one of the most rebellious groups that Paul had ever ministered to. Every time he would leave a young man there, the next time he would come or try to find out where the young man was, they prided themselves in having gotten rid of him. Where's Timothy? Well, he's running around somewhere on the islands. That's why I'm so impressed with the life of Titus. Because Titus was one of Paul's troubleshooters. When he sent Titus into an area, well, things flew. You can fill in the things. When I was with you, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. But he says, the words that I spoke were not in human wisdom or human understanding, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power. However, we speak wisdom amongst those who are mature. And then he's going to differentiate between the various uses of the word spirit as found in chapter 2. There are at least three different uses. The one deals with the spirit of mankind. The other refers to the spirit of this world. In other words, the knowledge that the world gives. And then, of course, first and foremost, is the Spirit of God. They tried to help us by not capitalizing the other uses of the word spirit. But you see, in the original language, it is difficult to differentiate except the context as to the use of a word. Never, ever take a word out of its context, look it up in a dictionary, and try to force it into a passage. Young Greek students do that. They have these ponies or cheaters, and they'll look up a word, and they'll get its basic dictionary form and try to make an analysis of a particular passage. No, a word has to be interpreted in the light of its context. Here we have, in every case, the Greek word pneuma. You say, well, wasn't it capitalized in the original language? Yes. But all of the letters of the original language are capitalized. So now what do? In fact, there was no space between the words. Try to read that one. I've always been impressed with the advanced Hebrew reader because in Hebrew, as you know, the consonants are on one line and the vowels are right below the consonants. And then, of course, you read it backwards to us. The back of the book is the front of the book, and you read from right to left, where we read from left to right. And the advanced Hebrew reader can actually read consonants only, no vowel points at all. So how would they know where a sentence ends? Well, generally, and this is good, in lowercase you have a middle S and a final S. But in caps you don't. It's the same symbol. So you're back where you started from. So the people that actually read this stuff back then really had an understanding of the language. I'm amazed when I watch some of these programs on TV how poorly people speak. And some of them get paid for it. And I don't mean just, you know, the most unique thing I've ever seen, which is ridiculous. There can be no most unique. I heard one the other day come up with something that sounded like this. That was the most very. They forget the use of adverbs. One of the biggest problems I had in teaching Greek here over the past 30 years is that most of the people that attended the class didn't know English grammar. So you couldn't even use that as a point of reference. I had to teach English grammar before they would learn Greek grammar. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We covered this last Sunday morning. What is the mystery? The mystery doctrine of the church age was never revealed in Old Testament times. And you study in detail the second chapter of first and second chapter of the book of Ephesians, and you'll see that Paul makes it very clear that the mystery that the Jew and Gentile would be made one was never revealed ever in the Old Testament. So that tells us something about the Old Testament believer. the Old Testament believer is not carried over into the New Testament and called the church. The church did not begin in Abraham's tent. The church began on the day of Pentecost, where the baptism of the Holy Spirit was experienced by the 11, incidentally called the 12, even though there was one missing. By that time, Judas Iscariot had passed from the scene. What I get a laugh out of, too, is watching these programs on TV, mysteries of the Bible and so on. It's not just a mystery to them. There's nothing mysterious about the Word of God. But if you're a non-believer and you're trying to interpret God's Word, you're going to make it a big mystery. The latest that made my blood boil was that Judas Iscariot may have been the same Judas that was the Lord's half-brother. Nonsense. You say, well, how can you tell? Because there is a Judas as a part of the 12 that's called not Iscariot. Is that too deep? And never mind just looking at the scriptures figuratively, they don't even look at it historically. So-and-so may not have even existed. And frankly, folks, if any part of the Word is a lie, then it's all a lie. Not that the Word of God does not have lies in it. You say, what? Say again. There are lies recorded in God's Word, because God's Word gives us an analysis of what man had to say regarding certain things. The book of Job is loaded with lies. As soon as you quote a liar in Scripture, it's recorded. It's a lie. First lie that we know of is the firstborn of Adam and Eve. I don't know where my brother is. Of course he knew where he was. He killed him. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. It's called love for the brethren and the sister. We have the possibility of knowing the hidden wisdom of God. It's amazing. Not that we develop eventually into gods. We'll leave that for the cults. We have the mind of Christ. That's the Word of God. See, there's some of you that would love to have a special counseling session with our Lord Himself. You know, if he would come down and I would ask him some questions, he'd quote his word. So you might as well know his word. Not going to go contrary to his word. And everything that is necessary for us as believers in the church age to survive is found in the word as the answers to everything. What's our problem? We don't know the answers because we never read them. Oh, we got a bunch of questions. Verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. This, by the way, is a quote from Isaiah 64. It's interesting because many believe that this has to do primarily with eternity future. No, I think it has to do with the present as well. Every day God is unveiling and revealing to us things that he did not before, if we're in tune. So you've got to be on the right frequency. I'm sure those of you that were involved in the old CB days know what I'm talking about. And then any of you that are still involved in ham operation, you've got to be in the right frequency. You can't be in the 15-meter band if somebody else is on the 10-meter band. Prayer is the same thing, by the way. Prayer is being on the same frequency with God. You realize, of course, now stop to think about this, that right now, in this room, every frequency known to man is being transmitted and received. But all you hear is me. Why? Because you're not in tune with those frequencies. Even the beepers that some of you have are tuned to a specific frequency. That'd be awful as we're all on the same frequency and the beeper goes off and who knows who, see? Besides, it'd be a mess. Wouldn't be Bible class, it'd be beep-beep time. The phones that we have, even our home phones, different numbers. There, it's a numbers game. They also have frequencies involved. God has so many things for us yet to be experienced. Don't ever be satisfied with where you are in your life. There's always tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying you should be dissatisfied, because Paul says, I found that whatever state I am, therein to be content. But don't shut down. Don't say to yourself, well, I guess there's no more for me to know. Call the undertaker. That's why I think a lot of people die so early in life. They give up. They just give up. Nor, by the way, does longevity of life necessarily mean blessing. I'm convinced that there are two reasons why people last as long as they do. Number one, because God still has a job and a plan and purpose for their lives. Or number two, they're an example to other believers as to what not to be. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us. What is the them? Whenever you see words like that, you want to find the antecedents. The them is understood as the things of verse 9. And you notice that the things are not declared because there's so many things involved. I had one of my daughters, she used to summarize everything with things and stuff. I'd say, you know, there is nomenclature involved with things. It's like going to a mechanic with your automobile and saying there's something wrong under the hood. Well, you're opening yourself up for everything. Now, be careful. Don't tell him what you think is wrong, because he's liable to change that too, and there was nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, I've had good mechanics say to me that the customer would actually leave because he would tell them that that which they suggested was not in any way wrong. There's nothing wrong with that part. They got it in their craw that that part was wrong, and so they wanted it changed, and they weren't satisfied until they went out and got it changed. Be careful. And be careful of most mechanics, too, because you can't find honest ones. For that matter, by the way, you can't find too many honest people around, period. I'm getting bills from doctors that I think simply stuck their nose in my room and asked, how are you doing? $90 worth. I should write them a bill when I said, fine. Yeah, I just got a couple of this last week. I don't have a clue as to who these people were. And I know I didn't have 19 doctors dealing with me. Now you have an associate for the anesthesiologist who needs an associate who starts the process. There's three doctors involved, and so, you know, $90 apiece. My hospital experiences have not been that much, and so hereafter, if I have to go in, anybody sticks their nose in, I'm not going to answer them, get out. I don't know who you are, and don't send me a bill. Well, they hear Medicare, and right away, bango, you know, you're ripe. Your tree is dripping with money. Sure. But God has revealed them the things which He prepared for us through His Spirit. Well, what's He going to do? Wake you up in the middle of the night and somehow through breathing some miasmic dust, you are going to absorb this information that God has for you? No. Or you're going to have dreams. I've counted dreams, by the way, exactly what they are. They're dreams. They mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. Generally, it's gastrointestinal anyway. Some people want to play those little games, you know, dream games. Well, I dreamt about such and such. Doesn't mean diddly. Well, I know of a person who dreamed about the death of somebody and they found out that that person died. Yeah, big deal. God does not communicate to us through dreams. He used to. Why? Because there was no word. Now He communicates through His word. For the Spirit of God, God has revealed them through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You want to know the deep things of God? Well, don't go to commentaries or people. Go to the Word. And if you can't properly interpret the Word, then go to a Bible class where the Word is properly interpreted. You know, of course, I realize this. It's not popular. It's not popular to go to a church where the pastor gets up and teaches for an hour from the original languages or that which he's derived from the original languages. You realize that up until, probably in the 1940s and 50s, there were certain groups of so-called Christians that believed that the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost had to do with power. The Holy Spirit had to do with inspiration, and the Holy Ghost had to do with power. That's sheer nonsense. It's the same Greek word. And since the translator probably didn't know how to translate it, he translated it ghost. By the word, spirit and ghost are both wrong. How do you like that? Pneuma does not mean spirit, and it does not mean ghost. So what does it mean? Pneuma actually means air. Pneumatic, or you say it funny, pneumatic. A pneumatic tool is something that's driven by what? By air. Well, of course, it sounds a little irreverent to call the third member of the Trinity holy air. But you even hear it today. You hear these guys on TV. Occasionally, I can't escape it. I have to get through them, you know, that kind of thing. It's an obstacle. Before I got my cable, that's nice. I can jump right over those channels. But on one of the channel boxes, I actually had to flip it one at a time. And I'd hear the word God, and you know, you have to hesitate. You have to. Not realize you're on channel 21. All of a sudden, this woman comes out that looks like she had died and come back from the dead. And she starts Holy Ghosting all over the place. With her hair up to here, you know, that kind of thing. Wearing enough makeup to supply all the makeup of all West Side women for the rest of the year. Shades of Tammy Faye, was it? Whenever she'd blink her eyes, it sounded like a safe door shutting. Now, you young ladies don't need that. You're just naturally beautiful at this point. But as we get older, you know, we've got to stuff and stick and all that stuff. And things. I got poked and stuck and pinned and needled and so on. They gave me 4 pints of blood and they took 3 back for tests. I said, you just gave me that. Now you're taking it back out of my body. Well, we have to run tests. Well, just run the tests out of the tube. Never mind taking them out of me. For God has revealed the things of which he has prepared for us by means of his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, or as the old King James had it, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man? Now see, there's the use of the word spirit with regard to humanity. There's certain things that we definitely know because of our involvement with being in the body. It's amazing to me how much time is spent on the average commercial dealing with the exterior part of man than his interior parts. So he spends 1 hour in Bible class and the rest of the week in the outer body. And you know, here's a clue, ladies. Your outer body would change drastically if your inner soul was clean. Oh, you can cover up. They even have a thing called cover up. As you get older, it's called pack it on. I do wish just once they'd come out with a product called It's Too Late. When you read the instructions, it has something, well, okay. So how does man know anything about the world? Well, he's in the world. He understands the spirit of the world. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Our Lord even told us, learn the ways of mammon. Just don't use their methods. I'm amazed how naive most believers are. That's not honesty, it's stupidity. Know who the crooks are out there. There are plenty of them. If it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. So a guy the other day, he started a financial institution, and he says, anyone in this country could be made rich. Just buy my book, $10 a piece. Well, you get enough people writing in for his stupid book, he's going to get rich, and you're just going to read how he got rich. What does man know except the spirit of man, which is in him? See, we're human beings. We understand human things. But see, that's where the rub comes, because when we became believers, we had to start learning spiritual things. And these, by the way, are alien to the natural mind. Even so, or likewise, latter part of verse 11, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. See, the one is inherent. What you know as far as your being a member of humanity is inherent. You notice that most normal human beings only have two eyes. We would not have to deal with a person who had three. Of course, my kids when I was teaching school were convinced I had one growing out the back of my head. What they didn't take into consideration is that I could have chewed on that individual every day and I'd been right because I knew that individual. You know, so-and-so, stop talking. How'd you know? I didn't tell him you always talk. Psychic. It's like I used to tell my kids, I says, now I know some of you cheated on this last midterm. I know who you are. And I want you to admit it before this day is up, or else you're getting a zero on your report card. Boy, I got letters from people's apologies that I never thought would cheat. But I knew, you know, having 40 students, one of them was a cheat. But not nine. Kids are so funny, they think that adults are so stupid. They forget that we were where they are now, then. When? At our age, we can always say, been there, done that. They're just starting in it. You can't combat an adult. You have too much experience. Don't even try it. Especially if you're just entering into your teens, you're dangerous. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. See, there's the spirit of humanity. Or rather, the spirit of the cosmos. Let's change that word spirit to, let's use the word teaching. For what does man know except the teaching of man? No one knows the things of God except the teaching of God. And we've not received the teaching of this world. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I'm amazed at the amount of believers that are so ignorant to the Word of God. They don't have a clue as to what the Christian life is all about. Now these things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. See how the word teaching there is connected with spirit? But which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The things there, by the way, in the second part of verse 13 is absent because it's understood. See, there are certain things you can say in the Greek language where all you have to do is introduce the next phrase with the first word of the previous sentence and it means the same thing. You save words. The Holy Spirit compares spiritual things with spiritual things. And the best we can do in the natural mind is to compare natural things with natural things. And again, let me emphasize, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to be filled with the Spirit to drive your automobile. You should be, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be filled with the Spirit when you do natural things in life. It helps. I suggest it strongly. Verse 14, but the natural man. This is an interesting phrase because Paul has now introduced a new person to us. See, there are three persons that Paul actually talks about in chapters 2 and 3. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as to carnal. The word carnal is differentiated from the word natural. The word natural actually means minus the human spirit. The unbeliever without any spiritual energy whatever. It is taken from the Greek word psuche. I don't like that one. It's not psuche at all. That's what they teach in Bible school. Feel sorry for those people. I met one who had a doctorate in Greek. He went to Greece. They couldn't understand a word he was saying. I would think that any school that's going to teach you a language would teach you a language you can converse in. The Greek word here is psychikos, from the word psyche. And psyche means not natural per se, it actually means soulish. See, when you were brought into this world, you had two things operating. Your soul, and that which the soul dictates to the body. The body is simply the function of the soul. That's why the soul is the real you. But then after you became a believer, you received the third part that operates, the human spirit. Unbelievers don't have a human spirit. That's why they can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. You might as well be speaking a foreign language. They just don't get it. And rightfully so. And education has nothing whatever to do with it. In the word carnal, in chapter 3, verse 1, you'd have a different word altogether. There is the word for flesh, sarx. Sarkikos, psychikos, and pneumatikos. There are the three people. You know, kos is simply a person who. The psychikos is the spiritual man. The sarkikos is the carnal man. Apparently, Paul uses this word to differentiate from the psychikos, because psychikos would imply that they are motivated by the soul only and have no potentiality of the Holy Spirit's filling. The carnal man is the believer who is led by his soul and therefore called not natural, but fleshly. And of course, there's nothing wrong with understanding the flesh, but don't live according to it. So what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man? How can you know the things of God, spirit of God? We have not received the spirit of the world, again, literally, but the spirit which is from God, that we may know what God has freely given to us. See, there it is. You want to know what God has for you, you've got to know his word. And his word has to be communicated by the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, we use natural language. But see, natural language to the unbeliever remains natural. And generally, they add to it the word foolishness. Look at verse 14 again. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He can't understand them. I'm amazed for those of you that are trichotomists, body, soul, and spirit. What amazes me is when I hear these people that are just body and soul, and they come up with all these ideas. And you can just imagine God laughing in the heavens. You think that's accurate? And that's wisdom? No, it's man's wisdom. So the least of all believers has more wisdom than the greatest of all unbelievers. Because he has the Spirit of God. Well, let's face it, a lot of us don't use the Holy Spirit in our lives, and therefore we fail. We try to go on the energy of the flesh. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And again, the word them has its antecedents. And the antecedent goes back to the word things of the first part of verse 14 and the word things in verse 9. You say, well, it's even italicized because it's understood. For they are foolishness to him. The they has its antecedents, things of the Spirit of God. Nor can he know the things of the Spirit of God. See? It's understood. So every time you see a word italicized in your English Bible, that doesn't mean that it's simply to be excluded because it's not in the original language. I've heard people do that. Well, that's not found in the original language, so we'll exclude it. No. Sometimes you can't translate Greek into English accurately. You have to interpolate a word. You have to bring a word in to illustrate it. The them is simply an illustration of the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they, again, the things of the Spirit of God, are spiritually discerned. The greatest asset that we have in the Christian life is spiritual discernment. And nothing wrong with natural discernment. But you can't live your Christian life on the basis of natural discernment. But you better live your natural life in spiritual discernment. Because that gives you what is simply called spiritual perspicacity. Not too much for you? A person who is perspicacious is someone who has discernment. And spiritual discernment is going to find itself in your analysis of natural things. But natural discernment will never be able to understand spiritual things. Because they're only understood by the Spirit. See, that's why it's important that spiritual things reside in our compartments of the soul. So that when these things come out, from our frame of reference, they are in that stream of consciousness. Now, I was born in New York City, and I used to play a game when I was young. You take a piece of paper and fold it like a boat. And every so often, the trucks would come by and they'd wash the streets. And they had the gutter, and then the gutter, of course, ended up going into a sewer. We have some semblance of that here. Anyway, I used to put that little boat in there and watch it. Of course, sometimes it was just a little lollipop stick. That's all we had. Made of wood, by the way. Or the good humor stick, made of wood. You'd watch it float. That's the stream. And eventually end up in the sewer. That's some of our lives. See, there are those believers that whatever stream they find themselves, they just go along with the current. We have some friends that live in Conway, Arkansas. And the Lutzes went with us one summer, and we went on a river. I believe it was called the White River. Yeah, that White River scandal, you know, in Arkansas. We didn't see Clinton floating by. But he had a special boat for this White River. Couldn't be a regular boat. It had to be a boat where you could drag an anchor because the current was so swift. Of course, we learned some new terminology, too. You know, they have... It's one gate, two gate, three gate, four gate. That's how many gates they'd open to allow the water to come through. When there was no gates, it would drop down tremendously. That means the water was shut off the dam. And they'd open one, and you could do some halfway decent fishing. Water was terribly cold. So we got out in this boat, and he says, we have to head into the stream. That is, the stream has to hit us front end, and he'd drag an anchor. Slow the boat down even more. I don't think we caught anything in that boat, did we, Jerry? I won't go any further. Relax. I caught fish that day. What is in your stream of consciousness as you leave here this morning? Is it just the remnants of what you've been taught, and then after a while it's gone, you're back to the old thinking again? That's not God's way. And you're going to be under attack. You can't live your life in this present age without being under attack. Because not only are there outside forces that are trying to destroy us, but there are inside forces, our sin nature. By the way, if any of you here that don't believe you have a sin nature, see me afterwards and I'll get it out from inside of you. I have a way of doing that. We all have a sin nature. We have to combat the sin nature. You're not going to do it in the flesh. Our Father, we're so grateful and thankful for the time that we've spent.